This past week, we celebrated the feast of a very interesting saint, one of the early fathers of the church, St. Basil the Great. And I wanted to talk about his life today. In many ways, he lived in times of turmoil and heresy and persecution, much like what we're living in now. He was born into a very holy family in the year 329. This was only a few years after Christianity was made legal in the Roman Empire and the persecution stopped. He was born and lived most of his life in eastern Turkey, near the shores of the Black Sea, what was then called Cappadocia. And most of his family were saints. His grandparents, who lived still during the times of persecution, had been tortured for the faith and almost killed during the persecutions. And they had even spent 7 years living in the woods near the shores of the Black Sea to hide from persecution. St. Basil had 9 brothers and sisters, and they were all very saintly, and some of them are even canonized saints. When St. Basil was very young, he was sent to Caesarea, that was the local major city, to study literature, and he was so brilliant that he quickly developed a reputation of being one of the best orators of his time. And while he was studying there, he met another great father of the church, St. Gregory Nazianzen. And the two of them became best friends, and they would be friends for their entire lives. Their whole friendship was based on sanctifying each other. And they spent most of their time together in study and prayer. St. Gregory says about the two of them that they were only familiar with 2 streets in the entire city of Caesarea, one of which was the street they would take to get to church, to hear Mass and listen to the Word of God being preached. And the other was the street that they had to take to get to school for their studies. So they had no idea even how to get to worldly places of amusement like the theaters or the taverns or places like that. But they studied the great literature of the world, not as an end in itself, but in order to develop their communication skills so that they could use those skills to convince people of the truths of the faith and the principles of the spiritual life. So after he graduated from his studies, St. Basil went to the city of Athens in Greece, which was the capital of learning of the entire world, and he opened a school of literature. But eventually he saw the dangers of the world, and he realized that that was not where he belonged. He was constantly being praised for his brilliance and his eloquence. So he finally decided to sell all his possessions and embrace a monastic life. He explained this decision to his friends by saying that our Lord said that if we knew there was a treasure buried in a field, we should be willing to sell everything we have to buy the field with the treasure in it. And that is what he was doing by trading his position in this world for a better chance at his salvation. So after he sold his possessions and distributed his goods to the poor, St. Basil went on a spiritual journey to learn how to become a monk. In this time period, the desert areas of the Middle East were just full of hermits and monks. So St. Basil, at this point he was in his late 20s, he traveled throughout Syria and Mesopotamia and Egypt. And he spent a lot of time visiting all of these numerous monasteries and hermitages. And he lived in these deserts to learn from the example of the great hermits. And he was very impressed with their contempt of the world. He said that these people consider themselves only to be visitors on this earth, but their real home was in heaven, so they didn't care that much how they lived on this earth. But at the same time, St. Basil was very careful to associate only with the hermits and the monks that belonged to the Catholic Church. In these parts of the world, there were many heretical and schismatic groups, some of them even very old, that had monks and hermits who lived austere lives. But St. Basil was not deceived by their outward appearance of holiness and asceticism. These people did not belong to the Catholic Church, so St. Basil avoided them completely. And at this time, the Church was also afflicted with many heresies, especially the terrible scourge of the Arian heresy that denied the divinity of Christ. There were many Catholics in St. Basil's lifetime that were led astray by this error, and even bishops and emperors lost the faith. And this would play an important role in throughout the life of St. Basil. In fact, when the bishop of Caesarea, his own bishop, was deceived by these heretics into accepting a formula of the doctrine of Christ that was heretical, St. Basil immediately cut off communion with him and moved out of his diocese. From there, he moved back to an area called Pontus, which is on the shore of the Black Sea on the east end of Turkey, where his grandmother had owned a house on the bank of a river. He moved into that house, and there he opened a monastery that he ran for several years, until he gave it over to his brother, who was another saint, St. Peter of Sebaste. Something interesting about this monastery is that it was only a few miles away from the place where the famous 40 martyrs of Sebaste were put to death. This had occurred only a short time before this. There were 40 Roman soldiers who were frozen to death for the faith, and their relics were buried and venerated just a few miles from the house of St. Basil. The feast of these 40 martyrs is celebrated in Lent every year in March. Later on, St. Basil founded several other monasteries in this area, and he wrote rules for them. His rules were very austere, as you can probably imagine, and they required his monks to live a very mortified life. But he himself gave an excellent example of poverty and mortification. He only had one coat that he wore, or rather, one tunic, which was a garment that people wore that hung over the shoulders and went all the way to the ground. Sometimes he would pray even all night, and usually only slept a few hours at night. And even though in that area it got very cold at night and during the winter, since he lived in the mountains at a high elevation, he never lit a fire to warm himself. The only warmth he ever felt was the heat of the sun. The only food he ever ate was bread and water. Except on feast days, he would add a few vegetables to his bread in order to celebrate. His friend St. Gregory Nazianzen said that he was so pale all the time that he looked like he didn't have any blood in his body. But St. Basil said that he treated his body like a slave that was always ready to rebel against him unless he kept it under strict control. And that was why he was so severe with himself. He always lived alone, and he spent his time in prayer and study and manual labor, taking care of his little garden where he got his vegetables. And this is how he spent his life for many years, in solitude and meditation on Scripture. And during this time, sometimes he would go out to the local villages nearby and preach to the people there. He had received minor orders at this time, instructed the people in the spiritual life. St. Basil knew a man who would become the emperor of Rome at the time, a very evil man named Julian the Apostate. They had both gone to the same school when they were children, so they knew each other. Julian the Apostate was a was, of course, a Catholic who had abandoned the Catholic religion and went back to the ancient Roman paganism and tried to convert the empire back to paganism from Christianity. He tried to invite St. Basil to come to his court and pay him a visit, and this was presented as a friendly invitation. But most likely this apostate emperor wanted to try to make St. Basil apostatize when he showed up. So St. Basil wrote back and he told the emperor that he had more important things going on in his life at the time, so he couldn't go. And the evil emperor waited a little while, and then he sent him another letter ordering him to pay a fine of 1,000 pounds of gold for his disobedience. And he threatened that if St. Basil didn't pay it, he would level the entire city of Caesarea to the ground. This is where St. Basil lived. But St. Basil wasn't afraid at all, and he wrote back and he said, "Not only do I not have 1,000 pounds of gold to give you, I don't even have the money right now to buy the food I'm going to need tomorrow." And he told the emperor that he was surprised that he didn't have more important things to do with his time than to bother someone like him. He said, by the way, he really needed to return to the Catholic faith. So Julian the Apostate was so angered by this response that he said that he would take care of St. Basil and his friend St. Gregory as soon as he got back from a military expedition to Persia that he was heading out on right at that time. But fortunately for the empire and everyone else, the Persians defeated him and they killed him on the battlefield, and that was the end of him. A few years later, a man named Valentinian became the Roman emperor in the West, and he appointed his brother, who was named Valens, to be the emperor of the East. Now, Emperor Valens had been a Catholic, but fell into the heresy of Arianism that so many people were falling into at this time. Valens traveled from Constantinople to Caesarea, where St. Basil lived, in order to remove the Catholic bishop from that city and put an Arian heretic bishop in charge of it instead. And the Catholic bishop who was there heard that this was going to happen, and he invited St. Basil to come and preach against this heresy in the city and warn the people about what the emperor was going to do. And St. Basil did such a good job with this that the emperor realized that he wouldn't be able to get the people of the city to accept this heretical bishop that he wanted to install. So he was defeated for the time. But a short time later, this good bishop died, and St. Basil was made his successor. As you can imagine, St. Basil was a very good bishop of Caesarea. He preached every single day, and every day great crowds of people came to listen to him speak. They wanted to hear his eloquence, but also to see the sanctity of his person. And he also took good care of the poor. He opened a large hospital to take care of the sick people of the city. And he himself spent a lot of time in that hospital preparing the dying for death and trying to bring all the heretics among them back to the faith. But while all of this was going on, of course, the Emperor Valens, the heretical emperor, who had tried to turn the city Arian, was still angry about what happened, and he didn't want to give up on his plan to install a heretical bishop over this city. So finally he sent one of his officers to talk to St. Basil and to threaten him. And we have recorded a very interesting conversation between this officer and the saint. St. Basil went to speak to this man, this representative from the emperor, and this officer said to him, "Basil, how can you oppose such a powerful emperor? Aren't you afraid of what we are able to do to you?" And St. Basil said, "Why? What is it that you and your men are able to do to me?" And the officer said, "We can confiscate all your possessions. We can banish you. We can torture you, and we can even kill you." And St. Basil said, "Well, let me know if there's anything worse than this that you're able to do. But so far, this doesn't bother me very much." And the officer was very surprised, and he asked St. Basil what he was talking about. And St. Basil said, "Well, as far as confiscating my property goes, I don't really have anything for you to take. All I have is this tunic that I'm wearing now, and I also have a few books about the scriptures and the spiritual life, which I don't think you probably want. As far as you banishing me from here, I don't really consider this place to be my home country anyway. Heaven is my only home." And he said, "And if you try to torture me, my body is so weak that I'll die as soon as you begin, and I'll go straight to heaven. And least of all am I afraid of death. In fact, I would be very happy to die for my Lord and go straight to heaven." And the officer said he had never heard anyone talk to him like that before, but he said that he would give the saint another day to think everything over. And St. Basil said, "Okay, but I will be the same man tomorrow that I am today." So the officer reported all of this to the heretical emperor, Valens. And the emperor realized that he wasn't going to get anywhere with St. Basil. So a little while later, the emperor tried to banish St. Basil out of Caesarea. But when he tried to sign the decree to banish him from Caesarea to give it legal force, his pen wouldn't write. So he picked up a couple of more pens, one after the other, and none of them would work for him. And he didn't get the hint. But finally, he picked up a fourth pen, and as soon as he started to write, his hand began to shake, and then his arm became paralyzed. And he finally got a clue. And with his good arm, he tore up the decree against St. Basil and decided to leave St. Basil alone. This Emperor Valens eventually came to a miserable end. He spread this heresy of Arianism to other peoples in that area, including some of the barbarians on the borders of the empire. Among them was a tribe called the Goths, who have no relation to people who call themselves Goths today. But he corrupted these people with his heresy. A short time later, these people invaded the empire, and he went out to meet them with an army, but he was defeated in battle. And he ran to hide in a little cottage nearby, and the Goths found him in the cottage, and they set it on fire and burned it to the ground with him inside. And that was the end of that wretched man. A short time later that same year, St. Basil was also called into eternity at only 51 years old. He was so poor when he died that he didn't even have enough money to buy a tombstone. But the whole city came to his funeral to mourn him and to pay their respects. And he was given the title of St. Basil the Great by the historian Theodoret, and the name has stuck. And he has been honored ever since as one of the greatest fathers of the Church. Let us admire the poverty and the contempt of this world that St. Basil had. There was a very deep wisdom in the ruling principle of his life, which was that he is only a visitor or a traveler on this earth, passing through it on the way to heaven. That idea really is the core of the spiritual life. The more we think about that fact and realize that it is true and internalize it, the safer we will be against temptation, against human respect, and against persecution, all of which St. Basil faced in his life to a degree that most of us probably never will. And yet he always overcame because he knew he was on this earth only for a short time. But so are we. Let us plan for eternity, and then we will be sure to have a good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.